Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of Analog Talk, a film photography podcast. I'm your host, Tim.
I'm Chris.
And today on our show, we have Brian Bruno. Hey, Brian.
Hello,
hi, Brian.
Hello, how you doing? Thanks for having me on.
Thanks for joining us. Yeah. We've been trying to schedule this for what? Like at least a
12
year.
12 years.
Yeah, I feel like it's been so long. We've come so close too.
Ever since you bought me, when I got you to buy that Hall of Impossible.
That's right.
I forgot all about that. Yes.
Yep. Yep. Thank you for that, by the way. so for our listeners, do you mind giving them a little bit of background on yourself, how you got started in photography?
Sure. That sounds good. So my name's Brian Bruno. I also go by Brunoroids on like the internets. Mm-hmm. So actually, I have been shooting film for close to 20 years now.
Love it.
Senior year of high school, that's all I did was I did film photography. I went to a secondary school because I wanted to get into filmmaking. So I was like, oh, film photography. It's pretty much like filmmaking. So I went to a secondary school and took nothing but analog photography, which was awesome. So I rolled my own film, had the dark room. It was great. And that's all I did. I had a English class in the morning, a study hall, and then I went to another school for photography.
I was about to say, like, where? That's the dream.
It's in Pennsylvania, outside Philadelphia a little bit. And basically, it was cool. Like, I went to a private school, and I was like, senior year, I really didn't want to follow typical academia, so I wanted to follow something more that I was into. And they allowed this to happen, so it was pretty awesome. But so with that, like I said, I did nothing but film that whole senior year, and I really fell in love with it and just like had a whole newfound respect of, you know, photography and all. And interestingly enough, I think it was one of the last classes to be taught strictly analog too, because I'm 34 now. So, yeah, 16 years ago, you know, so that was going a little, you know, I remember they had we were starting to get like Photoshop in there and like people were starting to shoot like the really big bulky digitals. But I remember they were still proofing with 4x5 Instant, which was pretty awesome. Stuff like that. It was great. Like we had everything in that department. It was so cool. But yeah, so basically did that. And then I actually did get into filmmaking. I was an assistant director for about 5 or 6 years in the Philadelphia area. A lot of horror movies and stuff like that, but worked on some pretty cool production. Actually got killed in a horror film, which was neat. worked with Billy Zane and some pretty cool people.
Cool.
Yeah. So that was a lot of fun. And basically like it was, after that was over, it was like either go to New York, the Philly film scene. It's very in between, like very not many productions happen out here. Mm-hmm. And I actually was gifted a Polaroid camera after that shoot. And I never had a Polaroid camera. And this was 7 years ago now. Yeah, it was 7 years ago. I never had a Polaroid camera and I always wanted one. And then I just started, I found out about the Impossible Project and stuff like that. And I'm like, oh, there's film still in existence. This is pretty cool. And then I found out how much it was. And I was like, oh, man, this is pretty pricey. Yeah. But it really intrigued me because I was like, oh, this is kind of cool. Like, I kind of get to shoot Polaroid for the first time. And there's a company out there that's kind of trying their best to make it. So I really, that's all I really did going back into photography. I strictly shot Polaroid. That was it.
That's crazy.
But that's all. Also, I kind of got out there a little bit. I was shooting a lot of concerts on Polaroid, the local scene. I did for about 2 years. I did nothing but concert Polaroid photography.
That's crazy. That's so, like, unheard of.
Yeah.
That's, when you think of concert photography. Right.
So that's, pretty much I did just Polaroid band photography for for about almost 2 years. Then I started getting tired of it. I thought it was getting a little, I was getting kind of bored with it. So many times because I would shoot, like, the live performances on Polaroid, which was actually pretty neat. Like, I even used, like, chocolate film. I used all sorts of crazy Polaroid films. Man.
I used to shoot concerts too, and I'm trying to picture like you in the pit with
I had the I had the reporter camera, the reporter Polaroid that has that big obnoxious flash on it.
At this guy over here with a Polaroid.
There's a few times where like you could tell the musicians weren't the happiest, but it's like, hey, come on. You're not being shot this way, you know? So but actually it was nice. Like I got the Philadelphia scene was nice to me. I got some nice write-ups about me. I was working for the Philly City Paper for a bit, which was nice, doing freelance band stuff. And then I basically got into, as of now and has been for about 5 years now, is mostly model photography, nude, fashion, whatever you want to call it. But that's been my thing for a while, and I really like photographing people, and I don't know, I feel like I try to do it in my own way now, and I shoot every type of film under the sun.
Your work is gorgeous, by the way.
Thank you.
I love that it's like very out of the box, if you will. I know you lose Polaroid and a lot of lumography stuff, like Lumichrome Purple.
Yeah, I always like the real dreamy, not typical. And my favorite, like I guess you could say, color film would be CineStill or anything cinema. Mm. Flavor, yeah. I love. I just think it's like really gorgeous. Anything cinema related when it comes to film stocks, I'm all about that. I love that.
That's awesome. Yeah. Do you work for like any publications now, or what's your clientele like?
It's interesting. It's so all over the place. It's all over the place now. It's like I'll get like event photography. Like I do some event photography now. Like I never would expect to do that. You know, like I'll do very private, intimate work with people. It's been all over the place. Like I even done corporate Polaroid stuff, which is kind of weird. And like it almost is like people see my work and they're like, oh yeah, you're good for this. And it's like, okay, it's not what I normally do.
Right.
And so, I would say it's like kind of a, I did the publications for a while, which you can do, and that was fine. But that whole, I'm not really into that anymore. I kind of like, event stuff's kind of becoming a little fun for me because I've never ventured in that. And I feel like I can photograph it in a little different way than typical, like, event photography and stuff.
Yeah. So how does that work? How do you do that with Polaroid?
The one time I did like a photo booth at a thing, which was kind of, fun, is cool. And it was neat. We had, there's a pretty good film festival in Philly. It's the Philadelphia Film Festival. And they're actually going to hire me this upcoming year to do all their film photography, which is pretty awesome.
Sweet.
But last year, they were like, here's two all access passes, do what you want to do. And I'm like, okay. They didn't ask for anything. So I just like shot a couple rolls with my Yashica T4, and they loved them. They were just like, oh, wow, these are really neat. So, like, I like to do stuff like that, too, where I just, like, take my point and shoot and just, like, kind of document without planning. So, and that always turns out pretty nice.
The best.
But yeah, so yeah, the clientele is all over the place from, you know, from to very, very PG to not very PG. So
is photography all you do?
Or
do
No, I also actually help run a small family business, which is a cigar cafe, which is pretty fun gig.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's three of us. So it's pretty nice. It makes me have, you know, quite a bit of free time to do, yeah, of course, this.
Man, I bet. You know. That's crazy. So with all the Polaroids and stuff you shoot, are you, how do I want to put this? Are you, how do you source all your film? I mean, I know Polaroid originals is around, but I feel like you shoot a lot of
I shoot a lot of vintage stock stuff. And stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah.
So I do own 4 film fridges.
Nice. I knew it. I knew that was going to be out.
Yeah. So I have a full, like, I don't know if you know those big, they're old, those Red Bull coolers that look like a Red Bull can.
Uh-huh.
And it's like 5 feet deep. So that's like the deep freeze. So I have like all like very vintage 120 and 35 millimeter in there. I have 2 like beer size fridges. One has strictly 4x5 instant pull apart film. Then my main fridge has almost all my 600, SX70, all that stuff. But yes, I've been buying film off of eBay and private collectors for the last 5 years.
Whoa.
The best things that have ever happened to me is when film photographers have sold me their collection for like nothing.
Yeah.
Because they're doing the digital move.
Yeah.
So.
Mm-hmm.
So I got in some really nice stock for really reasonable at the, with that happening. That really doesn't happen anymore, of course.
Right.
But I was fortunate, like, I would say 3 or 4 years ago, where I got some really good films that were the best you were going to find because they were kept, they were bought day of, put in the fridge, never left the fridge. So I've been fortunate, like, I've been burned too, you know, I've spent money, the biggest heartbreak recently was right after after the holiday, and last batch, full sealed case of 600 Polaroid. It even had the last like boxes on them. Like it was like all stamped and it was sealed and everything, but the whole thing was bad. The whole entire case was bad. Mm. And I was like shocked because I've like bought in like stock even like before then. And it worked fine. And this was kept in the fridge. And I don't know what happened. It was like some people said that it had leaky packs. And the leaky packs caused the other film. Because the batteries were fine. Like the pack, you know, when you popped it in your Polaroid camera, it would, no problem with shoot the battery. Out. Which normally is a problem when it comes to that. So it wasn't a battery issue. It was basically, I think, either the first 2 frames oozed. And it went all in, and it basically infused all the film together. I did do a few swaps on a couple packs. Like, I, like, had a dark, you know, bag, and I, like, put the, you know, film into a different set.
Oh, yeah.
But still, it wasn't very good. I had a couple good shots here and there. So that was a little rough. But for the most part, I've lucked out finding good stocks. But especially you gotta ask questions while buying. I always ask a ton of questions before buying, and you can honestly tell, like, if it's going to be legit. In my opinion, I've just been buying film for so long, I can tell if it's worth my time or not. So
And you were on it when I was at Sammy's, and I posted that they were
that was
half
absurd
off.
Yeah, like, I was like, oh my gosh.
Hey, buy me 50 packs. And I was like, what? I was like, okay.
Yeah.
You're like, here, what's your Venmo? And you're like, on it. And I was like, okay.
Especially like some of those stocks. Like, I like them. I like some impossible stocks so much.
Me too.
You know? And that won't ever happen again. So.
Yeah.
That's such a bummer. I mean, even the black and white with the black frames.
I know. Like,
I don't know what Polaroid Originals is doing. They need to get on making
circle
some of
frame.
That.
Where's the circle frame?
Oh, the circle
frame. Yeah, I have like two circle frames in my fridge I haven't shot yet.
Yeah, it's so hard to because it may never be made, you know?
Yeah.
So like, that's what I really did love about Impossible. I thought they were always doing different and so many different films, like the duochromes and like all those just neat things, and now it's just kind of borders, and, you know, I don't care about borders. I want more interesting films.
Mm-hmm.
We should petition. Polaroid, bring back the circle phrase.
I know.
We want it.
I don't want Mickey Mouse film.
No, me neither. Yeah. Me neither. Yeah.
Even though the Mickey Mouse film does have nice tones.
Does it really? I got a box of it. Somebody got me some for Christmas. I need to try that.
Here, you can see it looks pretty good.
Oh yeah.
It's got some pretty tones.
That's cool.
Yeah. Because I found a box really cheap, so I was gonna buy it, of course.
I always forget the gamble with buying like expired and old Polaroid film. And I had gotten recently, I bought a box of Type 55. I'm a big fan of Type 55 film, mm-hmm. and pretty much everybody else who shoots it, you know, hoards it. They have refrigerators full of it. And when, I think it was the Facebook group, the film photography Facebook group on Facebook, a box came up and it was like a great expiration date. It was like one of the last runs that they had. Wow. And same thing, every pod was dried up on every sheet.
That's very, I've never had any bad luck with 4x5 instant. I've shot like 8 film from the 80s on 4x5 and it works.
Really?
Yeah. Okay.
See, even I've had a couple issues where, you know, the first couple pieces or the first couple, you know, the first like 3 or 4 were a little dry and didn't spread all the way, and then the rest of the pack worked fine.
I'm wondering if last batch stuff wasn't made up to snuff.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because, I had that 600, you know, last batch, and it was a dud. That was like last batch 55, and it was trouble. So maybe like at the very end, it just wasn't made to like the standard that it used to be. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Well, that's what, I mean, even that guy was like, you know, I've had it cold stored since I got it. That's crazy. It from a guy who has a fridge full of it, who, you know, sold me a couple packs. And, but yeah, I mean, just like you said, I have a pack of that weird Polaroid Type 88. It's like that smaller.
Yeah. That stuff works great still.
Yeah. Oh, man. I bought 2 packs of it. And I think my mom got me a pack for my birthday or something. And man, all 3 of those packs worked great. And I think they were like 80 whatever. Yeah, I forget what the date was on
them. It's weird. I just think some maybe batches had more of a half-life.
Because
right now, I'm actually shooting my second book, and I'm using nothing but Time Zero.
No kidding.
And no issues with that so far.
Crazy. Are you drawing on the Polaroids?
I know. But I'm getting a lot of the nice fire.
Yeah.
You know, I love the fire chemical effects of Time Zero. It's like so gorgeous. That's been going well. I have enough Time Zero, and I've been using this one batch that I have quite a bit of, and I haven't had any issues with it. It's nice. So,
man, I wish I would have known about that that film when it was around.
Me too. What's your time frame for the second book? I know your first one did pretty well, huh?
Yeah. My first was with All with Chocolate Polaroid film, and that was a challenge. That was a lot of failed packs. That was a lot of money right there. I probably had at least
still hurting.
At least a dozen dud packs on that.
Mm. Wow.
And we're talking probably like 50 to 70 a pack right there. So that was kind of rough. but some people did donate. Some people did donate some of their chocolate film, which was nice. But with that, I pretty much almost every shot in that book was one and done. I was just not I only did maybe 2 or 3 takes on some, but for the most part, I was very happy with the first. Like, I had a very long process taking that photo. It was all nude, so I would have the person step in, clothed. I would set everything up, like do a fake shot, and like to make sure. And like it was like it was for a lot of it was done in public. So it was very stressful. pretty much it'd be like, set it up, make sure everything was good, took the shot, peeled it right on the spot, and it was stressful, but it was well worth it. Yeah,
that sounds like super exciting to shoot like that. Be like guerrilla style almost.
Oh yeah. I would say it was a little more riskier a couple years ago. I'm shooting in a lot of national parks and stuff, so it's I have a lot of private properties that I use now, and. But I still do. I still use parks. I use state parks, not national parks. I do enjoy shooting out in nature a lot. So I do still do that, especially with nude. But yeah. Anyway, that took me 3 years to shoot. Actually.
Oh wow.
The chocolate book. So I am almost a year into this one already. I'm going to shoot a majority of it in the next 6 months, though. So I'm thinking I'll probably wrap, hopefully by like early next year, probably like February or March. So maybe like a year out. So 2 years, then probably another 6 months until it goes, it'll probably be out by, it'll be out, hopefully it'll be out in 2020, at the end of 2020.
Nice.
So is there a theme to this one? Kind of how the chocolate
it's
one?
I'm thinking I'm going to make it almost like a trilogy now. The chocolate is very, if you know what chocolate film looks like, it's very classic, timeless. Don't know where this is at almost. I think it's still one of the most beautiful films ever produced. It's beautiful. It makes everybody just not quite look like themselves. It's just, it's very surreal. It's almost out of this world. It's just gorgeous. So with Time Zero, it's like, similar, but not, because it's like really colorful.
It is.
And with like the weird imperfections that I love and stuff like that. So it's kind of like it's taking the theme of the nude in nature again with the chocolate, but kind of making it just more like surreal and even more can't place it almost. So. And I haven't decided what my next film would be, but most likely another Polaroid film of some sort.
That's awesome. So I was going to ask you, because it's like a hardcovered book, right?
Yeah.
It's pretty substantial.
Yeah. It's, it has over 70 people in it as well.
Wow.
Yeah. And it's model, non-model creatives. It's everybody in between. Like, I had people post for me that never post in their life. They just wanted to be a part of it, which I want to do again with this really bad. Actually, I really like just shooting normal people that have never been naked in front of the camera, and they want to. You know, they really want to.
Wow. Is that challenging? Do you
No,
do you
not
find,
at all.
Like-
I think it's – I love working with non-models. I think they're – because they want to do it. You know what I mean? Like if they were I'm just saying, hey, does anybody want to? I kind of throw that out a few times with this one already. I'm like, hey, if you want to be in this, you know, let me know. And I like that. I think it just gives. I've never really had difficulty posing, or I was upset with the shot that the person brought to it, because I told him the idea. Just kind of be yourself, and it'll be good. And that's how the first book works so well. I thought it was just everybody was themselves during it. So
that's crazy.
That's great. Yeah. Now what camera are you using for this? Are you using like multiple cameras or do you have like a set?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So I'm using right now. So for the first book, I used the 600 SE, Goose, the big, real big camera.
Yeah.
So it was all tripod. I had to use a tripod. But this one I'm using, actually, I'm using actually the Mint SLR 670S.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which is an SX. Oh, exactly. Yeah.
Yep.
I'm using that. And that's produced, that's been working very nicely. Because I know it's got a good eye. It's all good guts. So I'm not going to have to worry if it might change over the shoot. You know what I mean? So,
right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I've been using that. I was thinking of using a Sonar, SX-70 just for, my eyes, but.
Yeah. That autofocus is nice.
But I shoot these from a distance enough where it hasn't been an issue. So I haven't had any out of focus shots yet or anything. But I do like the manual. Like, my first was manual. First book was manual. Why not? I should keep it manual. But yeah, I love that. I think that's a great camera. And I really hadn't used it much until shooting this this project. So I'm enjoying that camera even more now.
Yeah, I got fortunate to get one on loan. I'm on a borrow, might buy basis with this one right here.
Are you enjoying it?
Oh, dude, I love it. I mean, just to have that little... Do you have the like the little mint thing that sticks on top of it?
Yeah, the time machine,
the time machine. I mean, having that...
Can yours do the 600 and SX70? Yeah, which is nice. Yeah, I like that. Yeah, I have that.
Man.
Yeah, it's nice to shoot 600 in that camera. I like that.
Oh,
you know
yeah,
what I mean?
For
that's
sure.
That's a nice, really nice feature.
600 film is always easier to find, especially, you know, now that Target carries it.
Yeah, exactly.
But I used to use those, the little, like, impossible ND filters that, that you could
me too,
get.
Yeah.
And the fact that I don't have to do that anymore is
very nice.
The worst when they would, like, slide out and
half. Absolutely.
You know?
Yeah, yeah. It would be like, oh, there goes my filter.
Yeah. And mine just got so beat up from using it for so long. It kind of also gave like a cool effect to it, but you know, I'm glad that I have this. I definitely, I'm going to end up buying it. I know I am. Mike, if you're listening.
Yeah, they're going higher and higher too, I feel like.
Oh, I know. Yeah. I was just talking about that.
Like, it's funny. If you buy that camera, it's almost like kind of an investment because they mm-hmm. are going up in value. It's kind of wild. Yeah, I got mine. Of course, I have the deal guy. I always find deals. I think I got mine for $350 on eBay years ago.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
That's a great price.
It was a really good price. But yeah, I would definitely hold on to that camera. I think it's really good. And I love 680s and 690s, the auto 600 cameras. I love those. Are kind of my go-to shooting ones when it's like a typical shoot, because I do shoot a lot of 600, like you said, because it's way easier to get and you can normally find it for cheaper than SX70 also. And also on the East Coast, we don't get always a lot of sun, so SX70 is not... Like, I shot a bunch of XS70 this last weekend, and I was so happy. I was like, oh my gosh, I can shoot this film. It looks great. It's not all shadowy and dark.
Right.
But yeah, 600 is normally because I don't have the nice weather as, you know, some places. So.
Man, I remember that before I knew about the difference in the speed of the SX70 film and the 690. I was so excited. I finally got my SX70 and I was like, oh, what? I have to shoot it outside in the sun. Okay.
Yep.
All right.
Yep.
But it looks so good.
It does. Film looks great. I feel like it has a different
vibe. Oh, it does. Totally different look.
Vibe
it's totally
to
different
it for
look.
Sure.
Yeah, it's more like, I think, like almost classical painting look. It has more of a,
it feels
more like a painting. Not as sterile looking. It's nice.
Mm-hmm.
And the film, they've improved it so much.
Oh, yeah, I agree.
Since, like, the early Impossible, obviously, which is so nice. And it does, they do look like little paintings.
Oh, yeah, it's so pretty.
I think that's what, like, I prefer, you know, I shoot Instax sometimes, but it really is just for, like, parties and stuff.
Yeah.
Go to a wedding, I'll bring it or something like that. But anytime I'm in the mood to be artsy, it's, like, Polaroid Originals.
Yeah, it's so good.
I love.
Yeah, Instax is definitely... I'm not knocking Instax because I shoot a lot of Instax too.
Yes.
But
I'll knock it a little bit, but I use it on occasion.
Yeah,
I must say, the only Instax I use is Instax Square.
Okay. I still haven't gotten one.
I don't have a mini or wide. I use the Diana Instant Square by Lomo and their other Lomo Square camera that I do like both of those cameras. They're pretty fun. The Diana Instant Square is actually really fun. Because you can you can make circle frame film shots with the Instant Square. Because, like, it's like that, almost that fisheye lens on it.
Oh, okay.
You shoot very close with it, it gives a nice circly vibe to an instant photo, which I really like. And it's more, I don't know, it's more dreamy than Instax. You know what I mean? It's giving Instax a dreamier feel to it, which is nice. I like that, so...
See, that's what I love about. I have the Lomo Instant Wide, and it definitely helps with, because if you're just shooting like a Lomo, or not a Lomo, an Instax like 300
wide, there's nothing
or something.
To it.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's so sterile. It looks like a passport photo.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
Yeah,
like,
that's why I never liked Instax. Like,
same,
people would
same
always
here.
Like, that was always the joke. Like, when I was shooting, like, I was at a friend's place, I was shooting like Polaroid. And they're like, and somebody brought out their Instax. They're like, don't let Bruno see that. But I do shoot the square now. I do actually like the square format. I think it's pretty cool.
Man. Yeah, I keep seeing videos and advertisements coming up for that. I need to get my hands on one of those.
And of course, I just got some cheap Taylor Swift square film for like $4 a pack. So
wow. Yes.
And I never use the frame anyway, so I always edit out the frame, so it works perfectly for me. So
what does the frame have on it?
It just has like her signature on it. It's kind of fun.
Oh, cute. T-Swift. Yeah.
But that's yeah, funny. That's fine. Yeah, square is actually becoming, it's probably the least popular of the Instax line, so you can get film for fairly reasonable for it, so that's always nice.
Yeah.
Even like a twin pack's like 15 for the square, which is pretty good.
Yeah, that's not bad. Yeah, Best Buy keeps having the black and white Instax wide on sale.
Nice.
And it's $12.99, so I always pick up like two or three packs.
Yeah, I'm surprised they haven't released the black and white for the square yet. I'm sure they will, but yeah.
They have some cool, and I only ever see it when I go to Urban Outfitters, is they have some cool stuff. They do the black frames for Instax now.
Okay.
But it's tough to find. I'm a big fan of the black frames.
Yeah, black frame's always nice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not even in the rotation at all, even for color, because there used to be color black frame and black and white black frame. Yeah, yep. I don't even think they ever made, they haven't done it, period, right? I don't think they've done it once
not
before.
Yet.
Or, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Not yet.
Yeah, that's nuts.
Yeah, it was yesterday when I was getting ready and looking over your work and stuff again, catching up on what you've been doing online. And I was like, man, I wonder if eBay even has any of the black frames. And I just haven't been able to find anything that's not like outrageously gouged out price of the impossible black frame. And like, that's all I shot. Like, it was either the Spectra black frames, because I'm a big fan of the Spectra
camera.
I'm a
huge Spectra fan, but unfortunately, that hasn't been produced like in a year, you know?
I know.
Yeah. Because
really, they're not doing the Spectra.
Yeah, there hasn't been a batch since July of last year or August of last year. Yeah,
I wonder why.
Jamming issues. They've been saying it's been jamming cameras. But I feel like Spectras are weird. Like I've gone through so many Spectras. They're finicky cameras, but they're awesome cameras.
I just like the bigger size.
Oh, it's so nice.
Yeah.
And it also has a certain look to it. Spectra definitely has a look that's really nice. And it's got has a nice glass lens, too. So
I've never shot Spectra before.
Oh, Spectra's, it's really pretty.
So they need to get...
I had two different ones. Both, I had two pro cams at one time. Like the weird one
that
popped
out.
Yeah. I still have that one. But the other two that I got rid of, I'd send you one, Chris, to try out. But I mean, I could even send you my pro cam. Just don't break it.
Have to find the film on eBay or something.
I think Amazon has some. I think it's going for the normal price.
That's good. Yeah, I think B&H had some black and white recently, but not color.
See, I'm a sucker for the black and white instant. I know it's not like true and original, but it's how quick that film is.
I think the black and white on Polaroid's gorgeous, especially if you hit it just right. Oh man, it's so gorgeous.
Agreed.
I never shot. I'm pretty. I don't know why. Classic when it comes to the Polaroid. I just like the straight white frame.
Yeah.
I mean, I definitely like the circle for Impossible Project, but as far as the frames go, I like the white.
That circle was such a cool idea.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I hope they do some stuff like that.
Less chemistry, too. You know what I mean?
Are they?
When you think about it, it's basically...
It's a smaller
image. You're not using as much. Mm-hmm. You're not producing as much of a negative, so it's like, I don't know.
Man, just think of all the thumbnail photos you can make for that. Because everything's a circle now. But yeah, I had a lot of fun. I only shot two packs of that circle film. One was like the pink. It was just pink and black. And then the other one was just regular color. I think it was pink and black.
It was funny. I remember Impossible had a clearance sale years ago. And they had these, you can buy an expired 3-pack.
Yeah.
And it was reasonable. It was like, I think like $24. It was almost like, it was like $8 a pack. So it was pretty good.
Oh, that's, yeah, that's
so, of course, cheap. I bought like 15 of them.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And all I got was Circle. And I was so angry. I remember.
Oh, no.
I was the boy that cried wolf, right? You know, it's like, what? All Circle Frame. And now I'm like, I want Circle Frame. Because I remember I was trading with people. I was like, yo, I got so much Circle Frame. I'll take whatever you got. I just don't want this much. And now it's like, man, I was a fool.
You're like, damn it.
I should have held on. That could have still been in the fridge.
That's so funny. We also, I remember we bonded over the Lomography F2 400 film, too.
That is definitely one of my favorite modern films, mm-hmm. or old films to come out, re-released in a sense. I pretty much 2 years ago, that's all the 35 I shot was like that film. I was shooting that film.
So you're hoarding that too?
Oh yeah. I bought at least 100 rolls of that, but I shot it all. Like,
see, I'm saving it, which I should just go shoot it, but.
Yeah, 35, I might have two. I have a ton of 120 now. Yeah, I was so happy when it was released in 120. I was, oh my gosh, I probably dropped $1,000 on that film.
It's that good. I know. I was thinking, you know, I've been hoarding. I need to just go shoot it. I want to like maybe do a book of just that type of film. So it's like, really do something so it's not a waste. It's like, this is what the result was of that amazing film versus keeping it in the fridge like an idiot. So stay tuned.
Yeah. Like I'm so happy. I shot the Colorado sand dunes with that film and stuff. I got some really pretty images with that film. I'm like, I'm happy I used it when I did. I'm glad like I got it on that film.
Yeah.
Like talking about cinema film, that's cinema film. That's old Italian cinema film. That's oh, so good. So good.
So good.
Man, see, I remember when it was around.
Do you shoot 120?
Me?
Both of you.
Yeah.
I do.
I'll send you both a roll then.
Oh, I would love that.
Yeah.
Brian.
Because I've never tried it, and I remember when it was, you know, everybody was freaking out because a new run was dropping of it, or
it
the final
so fast.
Run or
it
whatever.
So
yeah, it was
yeah,
just
because
gone.
I probably bought the majority of it.
It's
yeah, it
Brian's
was you.
I even bought the batch when there was like the red line.
The red line was fine. Yeah. That stuff was great. I had no issues with that. It was like $3 a roll. I'm like, what are they doing? They crazy? $3 a roll.
I mean, I guess because like they had a batch that had those red lines and they couldn't, you know, they had
honestly,
to be like, hey, there's a red line.
I'm telling you, I maybe had 5 images with the red line. I hardly hardly any red lines in that stuff.
Yeah. So I bought a bunch of those. I mean, I was like, I got the clone tool. I'll take care of it if it's a problem. You know what I mean? Yeah. Too funny.
Yeah, that's what I did when Cinestill was selling 120 second batch, and I still have a ton of that, and it was like $4 a roll, and hey, my film doesn't have to look perfect. I'm shooting film to begin, you know, I'm shooting film at the beginning.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I sometimes love those second batch films because you'll get you'll get something where, wow, that added something very nice to the image.
Yeah, especially for like your style.
Oh yeah, like especially cinema film. It's like it's almost like you get little cigarette burns, or you know what I mean, you get little things that are kind of like, oh, that kind of makes sense, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Man, see, I for a while I stopped loving the imperfections, and I'm really coming back around to enjoying like scratches on negatives, and you know, stuff like that happens like when in developing or you know, when in printing or scanning or something. Like I left a bunch of that in the last little zine that I made.
Nice.
I left a bunch of the scratches in and and I feel like it works for stuff like that.
Yeah, one of the print that you sent me, when I opened it, I literally was like, because I thought there was like and I was like, okay, Tim, leaving the dust on. All right.
Yeah.
And I'm really into the like they're not companies, but there's just people that are taking the film and pre-exposing it to like different like light sources and stuff.
Yeah.
Oh,
like
yeah,
Psychedelic Blues, I'll give them a shout out. Psychedelic Blues is an awesome one-man show out in Texas, I believe. And he basically exposes it to like lasers and like,
yeah, I don't know how they do it. It's crazy.
And he has like 5 different styles, like 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5 like blue films. And man, some really neat effects that I think just add some dream. Like, it's almost like kind of making a new style film. They're really neat.
Yeah.
So I like
now,
stuff
is
like
it
that.
All different, or is it kind of like a pattern?
Yeah, that, so that like it's at? Like each, like he has like five different kinds, and for the most part, you're going to get this out of it. You know what I mean? It's,
yeah.
You kind of know what you're getting into. It's a little unpredictable, you know, not always consistent, mm-hmm. but for the I've never really been, oh man, like, no, nah, I really like the results with that film. I think it's neat.
What's the name again?
I need Psychedelic to look this up Blues tonight. Film?
Psychedelic Blues.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I'm that sounds right up.
And I like
my
Revlog's pretty
right
cool
now.
Too. I don't know if they're still I don't know if they're still doing stuff, but Revlog's really good.
Yeah, they're another cool one.
It's in the notebook. That's what I'll be doing tonight.
Did you guys what's going on with that Yoshika stuff? You've been seeing that popping up.
Oh,
I saw
yeah.
that they're doing some film. I don't know much about it. Chris, what did you hear?
I thought it was like an April Fool's joke and everybody was talking about because they called it out because it was like photoshopped image.
Yeah, yeah.
But I didn't really go down that road.
Yeah, me either. I don't know. They did that Digi film, so they can only go up from now, right? So.
Oh, man. I watched a couple videos on YouTube about people, like, dismantling that thing and just seeing, like, what a piece of trash it was. I feel so bad because I remember seeing those, the GoFundMe or Indiegogo, whatever it was.
It made a
videos,
lot of money.
And, like,
yeah,
oh, man. Everybody was freaking out. I mean, we talked about it for like mm-hmm. five episodes. Yeah. We were just like, oh, it's going to be amazing. Yeah. And then, oh, geez.
Did it ever even come out?
It did. Yeah,
okay.
People got it.
But like,
yeah.
That's what I'm saying. It came out, but that was it. There was nothing. It just, boom, they got your money and that was it.
And it's a complete piece of junk. Like, I remember the person, I was watching a review on YouTube. I'm sure you can find it if you search it. But this guy was like, all right, I'm going to put in the black and white 1600 film now. And it was still shooting color. Like, it was just
no.
such a gimmick. Oh, it was such a piece of junk. It was just
wow.
a money grab, man. It was a money grab. They knew that everybody was, like, ready for a new camera and just psyched up. And they're like,
especially
oh, man,
from
we can
Yoshika.
Make a quick buck on this name.
Yeah. Sad.
What a bummer.
But I don't know, it like for me though, if they do make a film, it's nice, they'll get it more to the mainstream. If they did like an mm-hmm. Indiegogo, if they made that mm-hmm. much money on the Digi film, if they actually got people excited to donate to real film, man, that'd be pretty
yeah.
awesome.
Yeah.
So I think that's why maybe like it's not really in existence yet, maybe. They're just like teasing about it. And
yeah.
they might just be like, okay, we're actually gonna try to produce negative again. You know, we need your help. And hey, I think it would be successful.
Yeah, more power to anybody who's putting out.
Yeah, exactly.
Films.
You know, so because I really,
well,
I wish there hasn't been much talk about the Italian film Farini or you know,
Farini.
Yeah. So that kind of's gone a little dark.
Yeah, especially since what is his name? Why am
Dave.
I blanking me?
Yeah, Dave.
Since
yeah,
Dave
yeah.
Bias
yeah.
left
yeah, from Possible. Yeah.
Yeah, you don't hear much.
The one cool thing is, though, is we should real quick talk about Super Sense with the single shot pool peel. Oh, that's...
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. And that was funded. That
yeah,
went
oh, yeah.
through, right? Yeah.
They
yeah.
actually donated a case of books to them for that as well.
Oh, sweet. Sweet.
So, like, any book they sold through them, I gave them all the money for the production of the film.
Oh, cool.
That's awesome.
So, yeah, that's cool how... Doc, of course, did that,
Doc,
which is
yeah.
awesome. You know, he's class act there. Yeah, that's looking exciting. It sucks how it's going to be like single shot, but hey, at least it's something. So
that's
yeah,
true. At least
better than no shot.
Yeah.
Exactly.
yeah, because that was that
one
other
frame at a
yeah,
time through my.
Yeah, like that 4x5 company that happened a couple years ago. They couldn't.
Yeah,
they couldn't,
new 55.
Yeah,
yep.
exactly. I still have a box of that in the fridge. I should try to use it. Who knows, it'll work. But
yeah, I was really hoping that was going to pan out because last I heard with new 55, they were moving on to some color and then they just vanished. I don't think they could get the funding again. They didn't pull through with the second run of what they were doing.
Yeah.
Hmm.
I mean, I'm all about, just like Chris said, I'm all about people trying
oh,
to
yeah, absolutely.
Bring some film, especially like Lomography is
oh,
a
it's
company
not, yeah,
that
exactly.
I'm always behind what they do. And when having them on the show, we just had them on recently and talking to them.
Yeah,
about,
you had some cool cats on from there. They're great people. Like I've worked with Lomography for years and they've been super supportive of me. So yes,
love that.
Super
love
shout
that.
Out to Lomography. They're so great. They've really, he actually even was awesome. I actually had my New York book show at their space.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Awesome.
So that was really, that was really awesome of them, to do that. Their old space, they're in Brooklyn now. It was the one that was, in, where was that? And right in, the Villages, I believe it was down. It was a gorgeous space, huge space, big retail space. And they would always, once a month, every Thursday, host some artists related to Lomography or not even related to their film, which I thought was really awesome. You know, it didn't have to, it didn't have to be Lomography film, and they would still host an artist to show off either, you know, prints, books, whatever. So yeah, they've always been awesome, awesome. I think the most legit to the community.
And they've been we were saying that they were like since the beginning, like they've just been right there the whole time.
Yeah, they're great. And you know, they're doing exciting things. You know, the Lomo Purple is like the coolest stuff. And it's cool how it's coming out again soon. But also I really dug their, they did another cinema film, the black and white, Kino black and white film's really pretty. I shot the 400, which is really nice. The 100's coming out shortly. So
I haven't gotten a chance to shoot that yet,
but
I'm excited
too. It's really pretty, especially if you use some like real nice vintage glass. Ooh, it's nice.
Black and white, anything. Fills my heart. We'll be right back with our listener question for Bruno right after this message from our sponsor.
Support for Analog Talk also comes from Polaroid Originals. Go to PolaroidOriginals.com and use the offer code AnalogTalk10 at checkout to receive 10% off your next purchase.
All right, guys. So before we get on to this week's listener question, we do have some Patreon shout outs we want to do. Our first shout out is Andrew Corser. Then we have Brian Wood Koyawa and Jonathan LeBlanc. So thank you guys for your $25 donation. It really does help us keep this show going for you guys. You guys can head over to patreon.com/analogtalk, where we really have some fun stuff coming up. We plan on doing some live streams with some guests and things like that. Thank you to everybody who's donated so far. And yeah, make sure to check us out over on Patreon. All right, guys, this is part of the show where we take a question from one of our listeners. And this question comes from Crave1NE on Instagram. His real name is CJ. And he says, I have a question for Bruno Royds. Being a male photographer, how do you interact with female models for anyone to feel comfortable with nude portraiture? Being a male who would love to get more involved in fine art photography, I'm having trouble finding female models who are comfortable doing the artsy nude photos. Any advice?
So actually when I started off, traveling models, traveling art models, it's still a thing. I feel like it's kind of going away a little bit, but I hope not. I actually reached out to a traveling art model for my first nude shoot, and actually I had to pay them, and I learned a lot from it. Like, they were a professional art model. I kind of knew what, you know, I knew not to be a creep. I was like, you know, but also they were like, oh yeah, you have me for this allotted time. You can shoot. Just ask what you want to shoot. Just always communication. You don't want to be, you just want to make sure they're comfortable, you know, and make, and don't like, and if you're setting up a shoot, but it was crazy. That was like, I just, through that shoot, people were like, oh yeah, Bruno, he's cool.
Yeah.
You know, you don't gotta worry about Bruno.
Don't be a creep. That's what it comes down to, right?
Yeah. Pretty much don't be a creep. And my name kind of followed. They were like, oh, he's a really cool Philly photographer, and people were reaching out to me, and then it kind of all happened, so it was kind of cool. But yeah, even like booking today with models, I would say I shoot not as much nude anymore, and it's not by choice. It's just I feel like maybe more and more people aren't doing nude photography as much. Models in general aren't doing nude as much, but it's definitely out there. But I always say when you're planning a shoot with a model or whatever, just before you even shoot, just talk about like what you want to shoot and ask. I always ask, like, even if we're not, I'm like, are you comfortable shooting nude? You know, like, and just let that be known. Like, if you want to shoot nude, say that in the beginning of talking with this person. You know what I mean? Don't like spring it on them when you're shooting. You know, you're like shooting like normal photos and be like, oh, you want to do nude, by the way? No, it's like, no, you should kind of say, nudes might happen during the shoot. If you're comfortable with that, is that okay? And stuff like that. So I think it's just communication. Kind of tell the model or the person you want to shoot with what you're looking for and see if they're cool with that and comfortable with that. And don't know. I think it's really communication and, yeah, not overstepping your bounds, because there isn't. When you're with that model, it's a safe environment. Right. It should never not be.
Yeah. Man, that's good advice, because I wouldn't have thought of, like, doing, like, a paid, like, a traveling model type thing. Because we've had Shelby
Diamond.
That's
who I was thinking about.
And she does a lot of stuff like that. And, you know, not that you should go out and book Shelby for your first nude shot or anything like that, but it's such a good idea, because, you know, I don't know many females that would be, you know, down to pose nude like that for photography.
Yeah,
and I've always kind of wanted to dabble a little bit in that as well, but that's good. It's good advice. I enjoy that.
Yeah.
Because, like, you know, once people see that you're not a creep bag, just trying to get some, like, you know, Snapchat shots or something crazy like that, you know, it's going to be a lot easier for you to
get
work. And I mean,
I don't want to say it, but it kind of helped that was shooting film, you know, like,
For sure.
It was like, you're just shooting that, you know, like, I remember I showed up with like 4 Polaroid cameras. Yeah, I was shooting strictly Polaroid at the time. I had like 5 Polaroid cameras, and I was just like, boom, boom. And they were like, this is cool. I'm not used to they weren't used to a shoot like that. So it was kind of neat, like, excited them a bit, because like, oh, wow, you just shoot Polaroid, you know? So, hey, I would say shooting Polaroid at the start of it all kind of made me like, oh, wow, he's doing something a little different. And yeah, he's cool, you know? So, yeah, I don't know. Just kind of be yourself and just, you know, not do what you want to do, but like, make sure it's all talked about, you know, like, just don't just don't be an asshole.
Good one. Thanks for your question, CJ, or Crave1NE. All right, so now the next question is the hard one, Brian.
Uh-oh.
If you had to pick one camera to use for the rest of your life, what would it be and why? Your desert island camera.
All right, so you're cutting out, but I basically heard what you said. what camera? See, then I could be like, well, if it was 35mm, it would be this.
That's what they always do. We always do, like, well, 35, it's this. 120, it's this.
Is that allowed?
Sure.
It's however you want to do it.
Yeah.
It's your desert island.
All right. So, if there was only 35mm film in existence, I would probably would take my M6.
Mm-hmm.
I love my M6. Mm. Because it will still work without batteries. That's very important.
Yeah.
So you kind of want something that's manual. You want your manual cameras. For 120, Hasselblad, 500cm.
Yeah.
I love that camera. I think it's phenomenal. It's gorgeous. And another completely manual camera. You want it. You want your manual cameras. You want less the better, in my, you know. So nothing can really go wrong so much. And for probably definitely the Goose for pull apart, because 600SE, because that means a lot to me, that camera.
It's such a cool camera. Yeah, it is a beast too.
And I guess you have to say the classic folding SX70 as well. So for, you know,
So there's a second part to this question.
Oh, okay.
Are you lusting after anything? What's your white whale camera? You want something you don't have yet?
Oh. That is a good question. So I've been on a big point-and-shoot kick lately. I've been, like, buying obscene amount of fancy point-and-shoot cameras, I guess you could say. like, that's what's fun about point-and-shoot, because you kind of discover new point-and-shoots all the time, almost.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, especially towards the end of, like, I don't want to say the end of film photography, but, you know, when film cameras weren't being produced, like, there was these weird collaborations and stuff. But no, that was just a side tangent. But one camera that I got recently that I didn't really know much about, that was kind of like a souped up point and shoot, is the Rolly point and shoot that's affiliated with Ferrari.
Oh.
What?
Have you heard about that camera?
I know what that is. No.
And it's really wild. The one really cool feature, it can go up to 8/1000ths of a second, which is kind of insane for a 35mm film camera, you know?
Of course, and Ferrari.
And the lens is really wild, because it's kind of like a Summachrome knockoff, which is kind of nice. It's very Zeissy like-ish, you know. But that's just a really neat camera that I recently discovered, that is, like, I never even heard of until recently.
Where'd you find it?
So I think eBay, and there really isn't a lot in existence, because it was like one of the last point and shoots, and I didn't even know Rolly made many point and shoots, you know what I mean? Sorry to go on that, but if there was one camera right now that I would really, really want, I'm pretty satisfied at the moment, actually.
That's always a nice feeling.
Maybe like a really nice like vintage Leica lens that, you know, that'd be like $10,000-$15,000. But an actual body, nothing really is screaming at me at the moment, I guess.
That's 2 weeks in a row that the white whale has, has gone uncaught. Yeah. I love it.
Do you guys have a, Ona, can I flip that on? Do you guys have one that you're eyeing up or anything? Or
there's so many. There's so many that I haven't had yet. Like, the, I still want a Hasselblad.
Oh, yeah.
Like you said. I can't believe I haven't had one of those yet.
Like that, that kind hasn't... of, like, once I got that, I was, like, really happy. You know what I mean? Yeah, like, I was just like,
oh, yeah.
I want to just use this a lot. You know what I mean? I've used it for almost 2 years now, and I haven't gotten tired with it. You know, it's...
I love square format,
me too.
Too.
I do, it's too. Hence Polaroid and all that, you know. So.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, of course.
I'm lusting after the Lomo. Can you see it? The 120?
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah,
I know what you mean now.
Those are cool.
I shot it over the summer with
Trev. Like it?
With Trev Lee. Actually, I shot the 120 F2 400 film in it.
Oh, nice. Oh, cool. Yeah. That, you know what? That's actually nice because that's like a point and shoot 120 camera. I don't got one. I don't have one of those. So
yeah, it was fun.
Right.
I do like my point and shoot. So, that's funny because there really isn't many 120 point and shoots.
No.
Yeah. Uh-uh. So that's pretty, that's actually an awesome choice. That's something I might have to look
into.
You surprised me with that, Chris.
That Lomography F2 400 and I shot some cine still in there, 800.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Those would be the two I would be
gorgeous.
Using.
Gorgeous.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
So, well, Brian, this has been awesome.
Great.
I'm so glad we finally.
Oh, this has been a pleasure. This has been a lot of fun.
Work.
Oh, it was great. You guys are awesome.
Oh, thanks.
Where can everybody check you out?
Mostly just Google Brunaroids. You'll see articles. You'll see, you know, my Instagram's mostly where a lot of my work is. Used to be my Tumblr, but that's kind of disappeared.
Tumblr,
a bit.
Yeah, Tumblr went down, man.
Which is ridiculous. Which is ridiculous. Stuff like that, but it's funny. I am officially going to launch a really nice website this year. I've never really.
Oh, that's cool.
I've never really had a nice website, so I'm going to finally do that. So, but yeah, just Google Brunaroids, and if you ever want to just say hey, I always pretty much answer anybody back. So
cool, Timothy. What about you?
Great, guys. Head over to Instagram and Twitter. You can find me at Timothy Makeups. I also make film photography related YouTube videos. Yeah. That's on YouTube, obviously. Go to the search bar, search Timothy Makeups, and you can also go to timothymakeups.com.
I am Crispy Photo on Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube. And Analog Talk has a Facebook page and a group you can like and join. And we are Analog Talk Pod on Twitter and Analog Talk Podcast on Instagram. So check us out, guys. Come hang out. Yeah, Brian, this is really,
thanks.
Like
it
I said,
so
this is
nice
great.
Again.
All right, guys, we'll see you in the next one. Bye.
Bye. We want to thank Brian for being on the show. We finally made it work. How awesome. It was great getting to nerd out about Polaroids and all kinds of fun stuff. It was a good time. We had a lot of fun. It's going to take us to the Patreon, guys. Head over to patreon.com/analogtalk. We have a bunch of awesome tiers over there. You know, we're giving prints away. We're doing live streams. We're doing, you know, Patreon exclusive after shows. Just a bunch of fun stuff. Last but not least, guys, head over to iTunes or Podbean and make sure you're subscribed to the show. Write us a little review. Tell us what you think of the show. And yeah, that's about it. That's going to wrap it up for this week. We will see you next week. We have Analog Things on the show. It's going to be awesome. Polaroid week. Yay!
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.